Thank you, Councilman.
Any other members of the council have any questions or comments on PCR 40-25? Members of the public? Ms. Comar.
Hi, Michelle Comar. Councilman Ricks, thank you for those comments. I fully agree with you. I think we need diversity on our boards and commissions, and people come from different angles. I'm surprised what my friends think politically sometimes. I think we need that diversity, and I like it the way it is, so I'd be opposed to this change. Often, we try to get representation from all parts of our city. So some boards, I know some people have not been nominated because we don't have representation for boards equally from wards, or it's heavy in Ward 1, and then we don't get anything in Ward 9. And we're supposed to be, we don't have general representation on any boards. We have it by ward. Or they just pick out people. The planning board in particular on their agenda, and I believe zoning as well, says what ward the project's in. So I like it the way it is, that it's spread out, and you don't have lopsided representation in one ward and not another. So I'd be opposed to this. I think the system works fine the way it is. My next two are questions. Where would public comment fit in? The procedure now is we speak in committees or at public hearings. So if there's electronic mailing to council people, are they affiliated with a committee? I just want to know if this affects public comment at all.
I believe, Ms. Comar, this is related to an announcement of a special meeting and how it's disseminated to the members.
Correct. I understand that part, but it's usually associated with a public hearing or a committee meeting. And then there's affordability for the public to speak.
Mr. Chairman?
State your question and I'll get you an answer.
Okay. I want to know if this legislation affects public comment any differently than it is today.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. My last question is, the legislation says here it'll either be on the ballot for 2026 or a special election. Is there a cost to the work taxpayers for calling a special election?
Ms. Comer, I think the idea was that if there's already going to be a special election on the high school bonding, that this would be, it would be worthwhile to tack this on. And I think the solicitor earlier said if there were not to be such a special election, that it would be put onto the 2026.
Okay. Are we making a new law rule here that's going to last the test of time, or is this a special case law? It's 2026. I think it should say on a ballot. If I would just put it on a ballot. I don't see this a big rush to have a special election expense. So why don't we just put it on a ballot and make that amendment?
If I may, so there's going to be a special election anyway, assuming it passes tonight, and then it passes the General Assembly regarding the bond request. And so as a result, the thought is, well, if it's happening anyway, so the expense is going to be incurred regardless, then this could be added to that, not just for convenience sake, but also with the hopes that it encourages further turnout. Because the last thing you want with a special election is to not have enough people turn out to vote. So hopefully when people see, oh, there's not just the schools, there's a charter change as well on there, it further encourages additional people to come out and actually vote.
I think the topic overall is kind of tough for people to understand in one sentence is on a ballot. It probably deserves some explanation and some questions like I've asked, because they're used to seeing things work a certain way. And people want to make sure their voices are heard and there's no shortchanging the public comment opportunities. So if that's not clear, I kind of think these are very non-specific. They're just too hard to absorb what they actually mean to the public to be on a ballot. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Comer. Any other members of the public?
Jeremy Landrell, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to second, I think, I agree with Councilman Ricks. I think the language of nonpartisan doesn't guarantee representation. And seeing the weaponization of a majority in DC right now against minority party, I'm just a little bit nervous about it. So anyways, I just wanted to put a check mark by that. I think it's worth thinking about. That's all.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman.
So just to give you my viewpoints on this, the change to electronically, that was a result of meetings with the city clerk. That was the result of years ago getting served by a sheriff on Christmas Eve. It was the result of, from a business perspective, the cost of this service is expensive. And I think the clerk made a very good point that today's day and age, we don't need to incur that expense. There may be a tweak that someone wants to make this evening for a receipt of the electronic delivery. I have no objections to that. I also think that Councilman Ricks made some very good points on the nonpartisan appointments. I think he brought up some good points, as did two members of the public. So I am not locked in solid on that item, and I would certainly welcome any amendments that anyone wish to make and have discussion on those items. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I know that this is currently in committee, but through the chair, if I may procedurally offer an amendment, or would it be better to do that on the floor?
I would love if you would jot it down, get it to the solicitor, let him work it into the language, and when we get to the floor,
certainly. Thank you.
We'll consider it. Okay. Does anyone else have anything else on this item, PCR 4025? No? Do we have a motion?
Motion for favorable action.
We have a motion favorable.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Next up, PCR 4225, resolution of the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to expand the composition of the school committee from 5 to 7 members by adding 2 appointments by the mayor. My understanding is that the administration would like this withdrawn.
Correct. At the request of the sponsor, this is to be withdrawn. The sponsor being the administration.
I have a motion to withdraw.
Second. Okay.
6-3. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 4725, a resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation and the State Traffic Commission requesting a traffic study of adding a left turn arrow to the southbound travel signal of Warwick Avenue, where it intersects with Narragansett Parkway. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. This was at the request of a constituent. If you're going on Warwick Avenue heading north, there is a left turn, like toward Pilgrim. There is no subsequent one coming in the other direction, and that causes traffic to back up. So we're asking with this resolution for the to pop.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the committee have any questions or comments on this traffic signal? Members of the council? Members of the public? Members of the public? Members of the public? I have a motion.
Motion for favorable action.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. The time is now 9:57 and intergovernmental is closed.
All right, so we're back to the full council as of 9:58 p.m. The next up for us is appointments requiring confirmation. The Warwick Public Schools Budget Commission, we have three appointees. First, it's Mr. Almonte, intergovernmental.
Committee recommend favorable action.
For action,
Councilman. Move favorable.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Are there any questions or comments on the proposed appointment of Mr. Almonte? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Council President.
Oh, my apologies. Councilman Ricks.
Pardon me for not being a little bit quick. I'll just, trying to be very brief here, state that while I voted against the Budget Commission and I still did not approve of this Budget Commission, it has passed. The mayor has named a qualified appointment. So certainly I'm going to vote in favor of this highly qualified person to fill this seat. Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing no one, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Next, we have the potential appointment of Mr. Champagne, again, intergovernmental.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Muto. Any comments or questions on this? Seeing none, clerk.
Council President.
Councilman Foley.
I will be recusing myself on this appointee because of a relationship, a personal relationship with him.
Any further comments or questions? Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Next, we have the appointment of Ms. Murray.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action.
To move favorable action.
Second.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Muto, Councilman Lattiser. Any comments or questions on this one? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
All right, next we have the consent calendar. First up is PCR 51-25 resolution relative to bids. This is finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Favorable action on PCR 51-25.
Second.
And you want to go through that, Councilman Lattiser?
Sorry?
Do you want to go through them? When you like say that this one's this, this one's that.
I still can't hear you.
Do you want to do your usual spiel now where you go through them?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Be my pleasure. It's late. Item number one, 2026-030, electricity supplier, 2025-001, maintenance and repair of Thayer Warburton Ice Plant, 2025-453, solar winds, 2025-457, purchase 7 police radios, 2025-456, State Processing and Posted Service, 2025-414. Striker Dual Multi-Directional Radar Guns, 2026-011 Alpha, Quarterly Fire Alarm, 2025-389 Penetration Test, 2026-015 Fire Sprinkler System, 2026-014 Janitorial and Cleaning Supplies, 2026-028 Police Radio, 2026-011 C Charles Quarterly Fire Alarm, 2026-027 Specialist Consultant Services, 2025-458 Technical Installations, 2025-446 2025 Advanced Hotel Motel Build Kit, 2026-016 Structural Firefighting Protective Gloves, 2025-430 Furnish and Install Concrete Floor, 2025-421 Upholstery Repairs, 2025 Celebrate Operator Physical Analysis, 2025-457 Celebrate Operator, 2025-134 Stenographer Services, 2025-098 Harbormaster Fuel, 2025-292 Cloud Data Mitigation. That completes the bid package, Mr. President.
Any questions or comments on the bid package? All right. Clerk will call the roll on the consent calendar then.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. Dillaway?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Latessa?
Yes.
Mr. Udo?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Next, we are at, oops. Unfinished business. First, we have PCR 34-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly.
Mr. President.
Sorry, yep.
We have PCR 29-25.
PCR what now?
I'm on
next page.
New business.
Okay. You skipped a page.
Yeah, we're on unfinished business still.
Okay, sorry.
No worries. PCR 34-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to review and consider adopting amendments to the public records law as presented in 2025-H5457. This is Councilman Napa, intergovernmental.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Napa.
Motion to move favorable action.
Second.
Are there any questions or comments on this? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
Dillaway?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Latessa?
No.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Next, we have PCR 45-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend RIGL 44-5-67.2 regarding property tax classification for the City of Warwick to better stabilize property tax payments. This is intergovernmental.
Mr. President, this is held to May 5th.
Any objections to such? Seeing none, it is so held. Next, we have resolution PCR 16-25, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. Sponsored by myself, this is intergovernmental.
Mr. President, this was moved to the floor with no recommendation.
And my request currently is that we hold it till May 5th. And is there any objection to holding this matter? Seeing none, so held.
Mr. President?
Yep, go ahead.
I would like to counter that amendment to hold until the second meeting in June.
All right, so in that case, pardon?
Second meeting in June.
So in that case, it actually needs to be a formal motion. Do we have a motion to hold this matter until May 5th? Is anyone willing to make that motion? I should actually look around. Nope. All right. So your request.
Thank you, Mr. President. I make a motion to hold PCR 16-25 until the second meeting in June.
Second.
That means you get to list out all those PCRs for finance for a while, because that was in there to fix that. So enjoy. All right. Are there any objection to holding it until June 16th? Seeing none, so held till June 16th. Where did it go? June 16th. Next, we have PCR 29-25, a resolution memorializing the General Assembly to enact legislation authorizing the City of Warwick to finance the construction, renovation, improvement, alteration, repair, landscaping, demolition, architectural costs, engineering, furnishing, and equipping of two new high schools and on-site athletic fields and recreation and athletic facilities throughout the city, and approving the issuance of bonds and notes. This is Finance Committee?
Yes, sir. Finance Committee recommends favorable action.
All right, for action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 29-25.
Second.
Who seconded that? My apologies. Councilman Napa. All right, any questions or comments on this?
Mr. President.
Councilman Lattiser.
I'm not going to belabor the issue. I think the points were well spoken at the committee meeting. Everyone's well aware of my objections to the basic concept. However, I will be supporting this resolution to get it back to the voters.
Any other questions or comments on this? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Nappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Next, we have PCR 39-25, resolution relative to amending the times of the City Council and its committees. This is Councilman DeLuise, it's intergovernmental.
Mr. President, committee unanimously recommend favorable action.
Unanimously. Councilman DeLuise for action.
Motion to move favorable action.
Second.
So, because we didn't move the rules changed, we have one hiccup that we need to address. It says the start time of the meeting in the rules. So my proposal would be that we, hold on, I have it right here, that we add to this resolution under the portion where it says Warwick City Council 6:30 p.m. Just have another line that says, be it further resolved, the City Council's rules accordingly are hereby updated by passage of this resolution. So that basically auto changes it for us. And then when we do in fact update the rules, we can change it in there too. So it'll be a little weird for an interim period, but at least we'll still be memorialized. Councilman Lattiser.
So Mr. President, that's the only part of those council rules that will be changing right now.
Yes. This is only in regards to the resolution that it's in, which is the time change resolution.
Okay.
So I need someone to make the motion to amend, though.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion to make the amendment that you just stated.
All right.
Second the motion to auto change.
All right. Is there any questions or comments on the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes.
No.
Now it stands before us as amended. Are there any questions or comments on the resolution as amended? All right, seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Move favorable action.
Second.
If I may amend my vote, I mistook the amendment for the substance. If I may, by unanimous consent, just alter my vote to be yes.
Is there any objection to Councilman Ricks altering his vote as it would not change the outcome?
No.
Seeing none, so noted. And then the resolution as amended was moved by Councilman Gebhardt, seconded by
Second.
Councilman Lattiser. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 No.
All right, PCR 40-25, resolution of the General Assembly requesting amendments to the Warwick City Charter to allow for electronic notice of special council meetings, raising the small procurement dollar threshold by ordinance and requiring the board and commission appointments to be nonpartisan. This is...
Mr. President, the committee recommended favorable action, but there was discussion of a floor amendment.
I was gaslit. All right. For action, Councilman, oh, I guess it's me. Oh, no, Councilman Lattice.
Move favorable action on PCR 40-25.
Point of order.
I believe there was a discussed amendment or someone looking to make one.
Yeah, right after
correct.
The second.
We'll make we're the amendments right after.
It. Okay.
We just need a second. For
second.
Somebody said it. I didn't hear.
Second.
Councilman Gebhardt seconded.
So now, discussion on this.
Mr. President, I will defer to my colleagues if anyone wishes to make an amendment on that.
I believe Councilman Ricks presented something for the solicitor.
I believe so.
If I may move the amendment, if the city council solicitor can't read my chicken scratch, I can always read it.
Do you want to take these separately or one at a time?
I think, let's do it together. And if it fails for one but not the other, then we can have, you know, that second vote if necessary.
If the councilman will so indulge, it may be easier to take them separately.
Yeah, just because
you're addressing separate questions and changes.
Yeah, there's divergent opinions based on the prior discussion on it. So I don't want to delay things just for the sake of delaying them.
I'll defer.
So Councilman Ricks moves, seconded by Councilman Lattiser, an amendment to the proposed change to the notice of special meetings on page 2, line 10. He is seeking to insert after the word electronically the words in a manner previously approved by the member of the council for such purposes.
Councilman Lattiser?
What does that mean?
So,
in a manner previously approved.
So he is, the amendment seeks to clarify that the electronic distribution of notice would only be valid if a member had previously approved that they receive that particular type of notice for this particular purpose.
Would it help if the solicitor weighed in as far as whether or not it
please
legally makes sense and would work? Because it would help me.
Yeah. The verbiage, I mean, we could play with, but perhaps it's easier to talk the concept out. Councilman Ricks is seeking to limit the ability to use electronic communication to only the types of means that a particular member has approved to receive the notice in that manner. That may get complicated as it relates to the dissemination and tracking of the potentially 10 different ways people are noticed, but that's a question for whether or not all of you want it to read in that type of manner.
If I may, an example of that being, I think that we all have warwickri.gov email addresses. I found that to be less reliable at some times than others. I simply have mine redirecting to my own email address. So for this purpose, maybe if I'm going to be served by email, I want it to be sent to my own particular email address. And maybe I have multiple email addresses. I want it to sent to one particular email address. I don't want to, just because someone's aware that I have some other email address that I might or might not check, I don't want that person to say, oh, Jeremy has that email address too. I'll just send it to that one. Yeah, the idea being that, let's make sure that if someone is going to be served electronically, it's somewhere where the person is going to be checking.
Could this be simplified by simply requiring acknowledgement of receipt? So it's just electronic transmission with acknowledgement of receipt. That way, regardless of the electronic transmission type, as long as the person says, I'm in receipt of such, then you're good.
I think that that's another good way to approach it. I guess that my only concern there is that then nobody actually knows if the service is effective or not until the receipt is acknowledged. Whereas, and so then might wind up with a situation where it's tacked on the door anyway.
Councilman Napa?
I think the whole point is here is to streamline the process. So if the city clerk is not getting a response that received Lynn all set within a day, a follow-up would be appropriate. I mean, we have ways to communicate with each other, like pick up the phone and say, Councilman Ricks, can you check your email? I think we can work that out without having to put it into legislation. Return with confirmation of receipt is, I think, more than sufficient.
I would just add one thing. I think the keeping the charter as simple as possible is important. You can always supplement greater protocols in an ordinance. So for the sake of keeping it simple for the voters' consideration, my recommendation would be to keep it simple, but you have the ability to supplement that should the voters effectuate this change.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially how there'll be a lot of lead time before this actually could even come into effect, because it still has to go to the General Assembly, then it still has to go to the general public, and only if and then it passes would it actually matter. So we would have plenty of time to dock it and debate and pass twice an ordinance further fleshing this out. Councilman Muto?
Yeah, I just want to, one, hopefully clarify that the city email is reliable, but I get what you were saying. But second, just to add on, you keep it simplified, but just like servicing something in person, we can, if it is by email, we can have the system track if it's been delivered instead of relying on somebody replying back saying they received it, because that may happen a little later. So just a thought. You can actually set the systems to track automatic delivery and automatically a read receipt once somebody reads it. So,
Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, thank you. I tend to agree with the comments of keeping it simple. And I think, as Councilman Napper has also expressed, we can deal with this by simply having a preferred email address provided to the city clerk. I don't think we need to make this more complicated than it needs to be. So for that reason, I would not be able to support the suggested amendment.
I'll withdraw this amendment.
Councilman Ricks has withdrawn the proposed amendment to 2-10. Councilman Ricks also has a second amendment for your consideration, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. This is related to the third proposed change. item 10-24 related to the minority representation change to nonpartisan appointments. The proposal is to would you say the proposal is just to not make a proposed change?
Yeah, to
keep the status
that
quo
language, if I may explain. Thank you. So my thought process on this is that that particular change is a little bit more controversial than the other two. I think that it would be prudent to have a discussion and further consideration on that one item, but at the same time, I don't want to hold up the other two proposed amendments.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would concur with Councilman Ricks on this, and I would support essentially just taking out the blue line, unless required, blue underlying line, and go back to the original language in that amendment. I think that both he and the members of the public that did speak on it, I think they made some very good points that initially I may not have considered.
So for the council's consideration, the Ricks amendment is to effectively remove any change from the resolution before you, so that the only changes remaining would be pertaining to the special meetings and the small purchases. It would remove page 2, lines 34, or essentially would remove it from the entity here, leaving the charter the way it currently reads. It would also remove question number 3 regarding the asking of this question.
So a question on this is just brainstorming. So this one, I don't necessarily disagree or agree, but my concern is that this won't resolve the currently existing problem. And that problem will continue to exist for at least roughly over three years, because that's how long the mayor will be around at a minimum. So would it make sense to potentially put after the end of this paragraph, but let's pretend it goes back to normal, would it make sense to add a line, another clause thereafter, that simply says something along the lines of, notwithstanding the above, should the mayor not be a member of any party, the above shall have no effect, or the above shall basically mean nothing? Because that's the current problem, is because he's not part of a party, it effectively means nothing, but it makes a conflict with the fact that it's supposed to, as opposed to if we change it so that it does in fact mean nothing, then the only time abuse could happen, as such was presented and mentioned, would be if a mayor came in, another independent, and basically only appoint it from one party or another. Because, I mean, if we really want to be forward thinking on it as far as, well, what if they go to one party? I mean, there could be an infinite number of parties in the long run. So trying to cover all our bases isn't really possible, but we could at least solve the current problem without creating a new one if we make it so that when they are an independent, this doesn't apply. That's just a thought. I came up with it on the spot, so I've been very much open to being critiqued here. Councilman Lattiser.
And I agree with you. This is kind of gets down into the weeds, but Mr. President, could you provide us with an example as to what the problem is when there's an independent mayor and making or not making these appointments?
So this came up, but Councilman Ricks mentioned it when there was supposed to be an appointment. I forget to which board. He had mentioned the one, and there was somewhat of a kerfuffle amongst, I believe it was the Republican City Committee, about the fact that, well, we want an appointment. You know, this statute says blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, that unfortunately doesn't apply because our mayor is an independent. But then the open question is, well, how's it supposed to work then? And frankly, it was never written with the intent for this situation to exist. So it just creates conflict and problems, as opposed to actually addressing anything.
So how would your amendment resolve that, where in that particular instance where a member of the Republican Party would have to be appointed?
So if the same thing came up where, let's say, tomorrow Mayor Bocosi wanted to appoint someone to whatever board and the Republican Party said, no, we want somebody, if we had changed this already, they wouldn't have a right to it, or even an argument to have a right to it. They would be like everybody else where, hey, we want this person to be appointed, and the mayor would consider him, do whatever it is he does, and he'd pick whoever he picks at the end of the day, as opposed to a weird legal quagmire. But if it was not Mayor Bocosi, or let's say he changed his party and now he's a Republican, then the Democrats would still be able to say, hey, here's our list in accordance with the charter, and everything would still function. So he couldn't just say, you know, no Dems get on ever, which is the exact thing that was raised by members of the public as far as their concern of abuse. So it would prevent the abuse still while resolving the legal quandary at the same time.
At this point, I'll defer to my colleagues.
The city solicitor seems eager. Hold on.
The more we've dwelled on this, and given the discussion we had on the electronic piece, it dawns on me that it may be similarly prudent to unconstrain you from the prescriptive nature of this charter provision, but let you guide that via ordinance as well. Because the situation that we have is very unique to what was, you know, conceived decades ago as only two parties. There are many these days recognized. And so some of these fixes here may be more complicated. So perhaps there's a way to move forward in a cleanup if the members were so interested, that that undoes the charter provision, but it does not mean you can't then set some guidance in ordinance about how boards and commissions are filled.
I like that.
Councilman Napa.
So just a quick question. So the issue that we're running into is essentially how to define minority party, because with an independent mayor, the two dominant parties, how do we define which is minority, or if they're, you know, if he's a cool moose, we all of a sudden have a cool moose mayor, which I guess could happen. Is that the issue, how we're defining minority versus majority party?
Kind of. It's also that this never envisioned he wouldn't be a member of the party.
Right.
It made no account for that possibility. It assumes he's a member of a party, and right now he's not. So okay. It can't function. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. A couple of quick items. I'll try to be quick here. So my interpretation back then, as is my interpretation now, and I would politely disagree with the council president and the city solicitor on this one. My reading of the current ordinance, or rather the current charter, is that the language of there shall be minority party representation on all boards and commissions, the minority party shall mean the party other than that of the mayor. My own interpretation of that is that party other than that of the mayor, it doesn't matter if the mayor is not of a political party, because it's the party's party or parties, I suppose. That alone would clarify it if it had the plural in there other than the mayor. However, I think that that would also be a poor solution, as simple as it would be. So my own solution to this, that would tend to be inclusive, granted, not a perfect solution. I don't think that there is a perfect solution in all circumstances. But I would say that even accounting for potential changes in state law that would allow for the expansion of political parties beyond the high bar that's set now. For instance, very difficult for the moderate party to qualify for the ballot and so on and be state recognized. But as we saw from that example, it literally happened. So What I would suggest for a practical solution here is that we just set it so that every political party shall have one member, or I'm sorry, not less than one member on every board and commission, so long as such party either has one member elected to the city council, one person elected as mayor, or that that party received not less than 10% of the vote for the office of mayor in the most recent mayoral election. That last requirement being somewhat similar to the state of Rhode Island requirement for representation of a political party. I want to say that the state sets it at 5%, but I think more like setting it at 10% would be fair. But again, this is a rather complicated issue. There's a lot of brainstorming that can happen, and there I don't see a particular huge rush on this, because I think that a change like this, I would suggest that it would be more appropriate for a large change like this to be on a general ballot rather than a potential special election ballot. And we have plenty of time before the 2026 general to get something on the ballot. So those are my thoughts and why I think that for now, striking it from this particular resolution, proceeding with the other two, and then having that debate, that would be my preferred approach here.
So truthfully, I'm most partial to what the solicitor brought up as far as just doing this view. Ordinance, because if we basically mark this section, delete the section where market as reserved and do it via ordinance, it allows us to have plenty of time to do it, because we're talking, it'll be months upon months before this could be presented before the voters and passed. So we'd have, and if we're going to be doing it anyway with the service, it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. We're going to do the same approach there, and we could take our time, and most importantly, then we wouldn't have to worry about coming back here again or kicking the can down the road for somebody else to have to deal with it later on. Like, oh, now we got to change the charter again because the layout changed. Instead, if it's via ordinance, it's much simpler to fix down the line. But what's your pleasure, Councilman Lattiser?
So are you suggesting that the language stays the way it is currently, and then we make a change through ordinance? Is that what the solicitor was speaking to?
So my understanding is that, well, I don't want to speak for him, so go ahead.
An alternate suggestion that the council president is articulating and is to make an amendment to the resolution before you that simply deletes Section 10-24 of the charter, the current provision. So it would keep all the red as you see it, or all the strike through, but also remove the proposed new language about nonpartisan appointments, and changing the question to some effect to align with the fact that we are asking the voters whether or not they would like to end that practice.
And then we would,
or we could write in something that said, shall we determine this by ordinance?
That would be my, I'd prefer that. That way they know it is going to be addressed, and that way we hold ourselves accountable.
So we could make an amendment that that deletes the existing language and proposes something to the effect of, boards and commissions are encouraged to have minority representation, which shall be determined via ordinance.
And again, that holds us accountable as far as to make sure, one, that we are going to address it, but two, that we're going to address it by making sure representation still is handled by it when we do address it. And it gives us time to do it, to Councilman Rick's point, to make sure we do have time and we don't rush it.
So I'm clear. What you're suggesting is remove the new language, or proposed new language, nonpartisan, unless, well, the blue, get rid of the blue. The red goes back to what it was with an addition or an amendment to the existing language at the end.
So it would all be deleted.
Everything, instead, the red and the blue, everything.
Yep. And instead it would basically be something along the lines of what Solicitor Walsh said, as far as making minority representation is important, and it would be addressed via ordinance.
Solicitor, could you just repeat that one more time, please?
So, doing this in real time. The proposal would be to, on line 24, keep the title minority representation and undo the nonpartisan appointment language.
You mean, you're talking line, mine is line 34.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought you said 24. Sorry.
And then delete the unless required by the state language and replace it with something like, boards and commissions are encouraged to include diverse representation, comma, as may be set by ordinance. And then if that language is acceptable, we can align the question on page 2 to match the intent of that change. So it would be, you know, shall the provisions of minority representation be set via ordinance or something? Yeah.
Okay, so I think that
I'll need a little latitude to do this in real time.
But. Yeah. So just do it again as the proposed amendment.
So we would make 10-24. The only change, it would be deleting the existing language in the charter that says there shall be a minority party representative, everything that's currently proposed for deletion. But the new language that would be in there would say, boards and commissions are encouraged to include diverse representation as may be set by ordinance.
Hold on, I'm writing this down, and you talk faster than I can write. Boards and commissions are encouraged, go ahead.
So, to include diverse representation as may be set by ordinance. So the big picture is right now the charter is giving us a very just prescriptive lane about how we get there. It is outdated based on the multi-party factor and independent mayor and other recent experiences. That flexibility could be better executed by this or future councils as they see fit to meet the goals of minority representation without necessarily needing a particular person to provide a list of names. That also, people do change their party affiliation somewhat regularly these days, so that could be a hard thing to track as well. So there is a, you know, a consideration to update the charter, but still find a way to fulfill the goals of minority representation.
Okay, Mr. President, if I may, I would make a motion to do what he said.
I'll withdraw my motion. I'll second Councilman Lattice's motion.
That works.
So are there any further questions or comments regarding the proposed amendment?
Councilman Napa.
So my only thought on the proposed amendment, I like the theory, is that the May language, I don't necessarily think gets it done. Perhaps it should be shall language, because if the amendment's going to state, if we're getting rid of all this minority representation language and we put in as may be prescribed by ordinance, there's nothing that holds us to the fire because we may decide not to do anything. So if the goal here is to ultimately protect minority representation, however we're defining that, then it should be shall be prescribed by ordinance, not may.
I'm fine with that.
I offered flexibility. It's your whatever you would like to do with it.
Does it make sense coming out of my mouth? What does it does in my head?
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Again, it goes to it forces accountability. It forces us to address it rather.
And
than
then every council that. Can make their decision as how they're going to define.
That's my motion.
I would suggest that we're using, or at least as drafted or proposed at the moment, we're using the words encouraged, diverse representation. There's no definition of those things, so that's subject to some discretion anyway. But that would be potentially filled in with the ordinance details.
With the ordinance. But at least that binds us to actually making an ordinance to fulfill that.
Is it fair to say that putting shall does not hinder us, right? Just basically forces us to do our job. All right, yeah. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, so Council Lattice's motion is, as stated, except that may is a shall.
Correct.
He clarified for us. Are there any further questions or comments on the proposed amendment? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 All right, so now the resolution stands before us as amended. Are there any questions or comments to the resolution as amended?
Need a motion. Make a motion for favorable action as amended.
Second.
Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Next, we have PCR 42-25, resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to expand the composition of the school committee from 5 to 7 members by adding 2 appointments by the mayor. This is at the request of the mayor, and then intergovernmental.
This was withdrawn per request of the sponsor.
All right, this is withdrawn at the request of the sponsor for action. Councilman Gebhardt.
Motion to withdraw.
Second.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments? Clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 And next we have PCR 47-25, a resolution relative to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation and the State Traffic Commission requesting a traffic study of adding a left turn arrow to the southbound travel signal of Warwick Avenue where it intersects Narragansett Parkway. This is intergovernmental.
Mr. President, committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Second.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 All right, we're on to unanimous consent. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? All right, seeing none. Docket session, who wants to fight to be the one to motion for it?
I move, since there is no further action in front of this honorable body, we move to a docket session.
Seconded by Councilman Lattice.
Good move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Can we wait, somebody opposes? It doesn't matter. All right. We're now in the docket session. Ward 1.
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
I have one. I have one. It's a resolution, and the title is Opposition to, but not limited to, House Bill H-5436 and Senate Bill S-359.
So, intergovernmental. All right, Councilman Muto.
I have one. I'd like to do an establishment of a Warwick City Council Financial Oversight and Budget Forecasting Committee.
So probably you were going to intergovernmental, no?
Intergovernmental. Mine's better.
I'll withdraw mine, and I'll co-sponsor Councilman Muto's. How's that?
Councilman Kirby?
Yes, I have one ordinance in regards to no parking signs from the intersection of Staples Ave and Midgley Ave, eastbound all the way to 70 Staples Ave.
So go to ordinance, Councilman Gebhardt. Nothing. And then I have one. Can I say simply installation of stop signs, or do you want me to be more detailed? All right, installation of stop signs. Public safety it is. All right, that's everything. So adjourned at 10:48 p.m. Come on.